93.5 The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Israel has told North Gaza residents to get out because Hamas will use them as human shields when Israeli forces invade. Hamas has told those people to stay put. Either way, the 24-hour deadline to evacuate is coming up fast. Correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab reports the evacuations have been chaotic.
The evacuations have also been deadly. According to Hamas, 70 people, mostly women and children, were killed in an Israeli airstrike that hit a convoy fleeing Gaza City. Since Hamas's deadly rampage across southern Israel, the Israeli military has carried out thousands of strikes across the Palestinian territory, inflicting mass casualties and pushing the already ailing healthcare system to the brink as doctors struggle to treat so many wounded.
Officials say the first charter flight carrying Americans out of Israel landed in Athens early this evening Eastern Time. CBS's Ian Lee says more flights are coming.
U.S. officials announced they're working to evacuate thousands of Americans stuck in Israel, chartering flights beginning Friday. In recent days, other governments have evacuated their citizens, including Nepal, Germany, Thailand, Brazil, and Canada. Many having spent days in bomb shelters, some even injured in fighting.
Ohio's Jim Jordan wants to be House Speaker. He's already won the Republican nomination for that office, but CBS's Natalie Brand says even a GOP majority doesn't guarantee that he'll get it.
Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan on Friday won a secret ballot vote by House Republicans in his bid to win the GOP nomination for Speaker. But some House Republicans are skeptical Jordan will be able to get enough support from moderates to get the 217 votes needed to win on the House floor.
I think there's enough people that would see what has happened and transpired to not support him that we're going to have the same problem with Jordan that we had with Scalise. So I think it's a math problem.
That comment from California Republican Mike Garcia. In about an hour, the United Auto Workers strike enters its second month with no settlement in sight. Union President Sean Fain says the next job action will be a last-minute call to take car makers by surprise. He says the stakes are high and then some.
We're at a great inflection point, not just in this union, but in this country. You know, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of future do we want for America? And not just America, but for the world. And is it going to be runaway profits for a handful of people and they keep it all? Or is it going to be getting working class people back to where they make living wages and they don't have to scrape to get by paycheck to paycheck? That's really what this fight's all about.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has signed a law increasing compensation for some 2,000 victims who were sexually abused as members of the Boy Scouts of America. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Prescriptions required.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
93.5 The Tap.
Moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenaire.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this blustery, rainy, kind of icky Friday the 13th. Calvin is on the board. My friend Carol Kane across from me here in the studio, live from downtown Waukesha at our studio. W-A-U-K. It is Friday the 13th.
It is Friday the 13th.
And you found a great article that we're going to talk about in the next half hour.
About why we're afraid of Friday the 13th?
Where did this all start? Because I am not personally superstitious.
No, I'm not either.
But I know there are people who certainly are and take stuff like that very seriously.
Yeah. I mean, well, it you know, triskaidekaphobia.
Well done.
Stand back. I'm a professional. I'm not at all superstitious either. I had two black cats. It's whatever.
It's fine. Yeah.
The only thing, and we can get to it once we get to this thing. The only thing that I do is if I spill salt, I throw it over my shoulder.
Do you?
Yeah.
Did your mom teach you that?
No. I think Lou did.
Interesting.
I don't know why it's supposed to be like warding off something. You know, I just throw a little bit over my shoulder, you know, and I come to rue it because I'm the one that has to pick it up.
Now I have to go sweep up the salt.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we'll start kicking that around coming up at 10:33. Busy hour next hour with lots and lots of guests.
Yeah.
Dr. Michael McCutcheon will be here to fix your life. So if you have relationship questions or career questions or life coachy kind of questions, Dr. Mike is the guy that you want to talk to. And then Tim McCormick. I'm sure you've talked to Tim over the years.
I'm sure.
From the Harley-Davidson Museum. We're going to talk to Tim in the second hour about some of the, they have some really fun stuff coming up at the Harley Museum for Halloween and other events.
Just overall, it's one of the premier destinations, really. If you haven't seen the Harley Museum,
it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
And motor is delicious.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Tim Nicosia, who is with the Friends of Prairie Cemetery, they have an unveiling of a canine officer monument that's going to happen tomorrow. Unfortunately, the weather's not going to be great.
No,
but they're having a pet walk. And there's going to be the unveiling of this monument. So Tim's going to join us.
Oh, good.
In the very last segment. Yeah. That's something that's happening tomorrow here in Waukesha. But to start things off this hour, I wanted to talk about Republicans in disarray.
Well, they've been a mess for a while. They can't seem to figure it out. And, you know, I don't know why it gets to this cluster, if you will. They just can't seem to agree on anything.
That's within their own caucus.
Right. I mean, the problem is that how do you expect to get anything done when even in your own party, you can't figure it out? I don't know. How do you expect to work with the Democrats if even in your own party, you can't figure it out? And listen,
I was raised in a very conservative family. So, I mean, my when my mom died, I found her Nixon button.
That she obviously kept proudly.
Right. Well, but I can see both sides here. But I just don't know why you don't see how completely unfortunate you are.
Well, and how bad it looks. Not right. just to the rest of the country, but to the rest of the world. Especially with everything going on right now in Israel and Ukraine and all of that. So just to recap a little bit. So House Republicans blew out Speaker McCarthy after 18 whole months, or was it even 18 months?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. So, yeah, they blew out Kevin McCarthy without any obvious replacement that everyone could agree on. Steve Scalise, who was supposed to be the front runner, did not get enough votes last night, so he stepped out of the race. Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene, among several other Republicans, checking in and saying she can't vote for Steve Scalise because he has a form of blood cancer that he's fighting. And so he needs to back out of the race and take care of himself.
Well, I'm not going to act. I'm actually not going to vote again.
But if he feels he is up to it.
I understand that if he personally thinks that he's up to it, I guess, but that worm can turn really quickly.
Granted.
Then what do we do?
Right. Well, there is an article in Politico today talking about what kinds of options there are as this mess continues in the Republican House. So here are a couple different things.
Okay.
One thing is to former President Trump. They could just install former President Trump because you do not have to be a speaker in order. You don't have to be a member of the House in order to be speaker. However, House rules do prohibit someone with major criminal indictments from holding a House leadership role. So he's only facing 91 indictments. I don't know. Maybe that comes in under the wire.
I don't want him there anyhow.
The second idea is for Kevin McCarthy to be reinstated, which he just got booted last week. I can't imagine that Matt Gaetz and these others who were behind his ouster are going to say, yeah, let's bring him back because we look bad and we look like we don't know what we're doing. No. That's not going to happen.
No, that's dumb.
That's not going to happen.
No, the third idea,
and this is what really jumped out at me, a small handful of more vulnerable House Republicans could cut a deal with Democrats to nominate a consensus speaker in return for a bipartisan governing arrangement. And I saw this pop up on Twitter yesterday from several Republican lawmakers. We need House Democrats to come across the aisle and help us. Should they? That's my question. Should Democrats help the Republicans straighten out this mess?
Okay, I'm just going to take it down to a baseline and just say, I wouldn't be sad if they helped out, because at least it's in the spirit of cooperation, and maybe it's a step in the right direction so we can get some kind of like working agreement between the two sides instead of each one always, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. You know, at some point in time, some concession is going to have to, it's like bickering children. When I was a mom, or I still am a mom, what am I saying? But like, if my kids were fighting, it's like, okay, you go off into that corner, you go off into that corner, and then in about a half an hour, you're going to kiss and make up, and we're going to be a nice little family again. So sometimes I think little steps like this might put us in the right direction. I know you disagree with me on that.
Well, no, I think compromise is really critical. But I also feel that the Clown Car Caucus is the one that got themselves into this mess. They have not necessarily always negotiated with Democrats in good faith.
No, I'm not. And I agree with you.
And have made deals and then reneged on these deals.
And so I
just think there would be a lot of hesitation. Why would we do this for you? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Should Democrats help House Republicans get a speaker elected? And if so, who should that be? Because I've also seen it suggested that Hakeem Jeffries, who is a Democrat, they'd probably go along with that. Sure. if the House Republicans want to go along with House Democrats and put Hakeem Jeffries in there, I think Democrats would do that, but no Republican's going to do that.
Well, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Because if they're asking for help, you have to accept the help and work with them and figure out if this is the guy, if this is the guy they want, then you got to figure it out. I don't know. I this is something that, you know, this is why I'm not on Capitol Hill. Because at some point in time, I think they do need a mom. They need a mom figure. That God knows with the debates, we needed a mom to get on the stage and go, shut up.
Absolutely. And get some duct tape and wash their mouths out with
right.
soap.
So I just sometimes think you need that mom figure to come in and go, all right.
Enough.
I've had enough.
Enough.
This is ridiculous. So in that regard, I kind of hope they do, because it might be a step in the right direction. I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm so anxious to find some cooperation anywhere.
Yeah. So we can get something done.
Get something done.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We have Brian from Iguanago is on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
What do you think about Democrats stepping across the aisle to help out the Republicans in the House?
Good morning. Yes, I believe it's still morning. I have an easy solution for them. Since there's no speaker, they can't enact any legislation. And even when they had a speaker, they couldn't enact any legislation anyway. So no, Democrats should not step across the aisle to help them out of their own mess. But the easy solution is all the Republicans should just resign. Since they're not passing any legislation anyway, they're not doing their job. Or, you know, if possible, we could just fire them and then just get some new blood in there. And hopefully that'll, you know, some younger generation members in there, and that might help the process.
All right.
At least, you know, that's my idea.
All right. Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. You can call. You can text if you are watching the live stream. You can also leave a comment there. Text here from the 541. Who can the House Democrats trust in the Republican Party? And unfortunately, I think that's a big issue. Again, why?
That's a big issue.
Why would I trust you?
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, that's something that we... I understand the opinion, but once again, somebody's got to start trusting somebody
and be the grownups.
Yes, yes. So I know it's a very difficult issue and it's very polarizing, and a lot of people disagree with me, and that's fine. But I just think somewhere along the line we have to have the spirit of cooperation. Somewhere. It's got to start somewhere.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We will take your calls. We will take your texts on the other side of the break. Don't go away. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain continues tonight, low mid-40s and breezy, gusts as high as 30 miles an hour, might even hear a rumble of thunder. Maybe an early shower to start Saturday, then mostly cloudy and a high in the low 50s. Sun's back in mid-50s for Sunday. It's 46 right now.
It's 48 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the Republican Party is still a mess in trying to get a speaker. Steve Scalise dropped out, even though he beat Jim Jordan in the secret caucus in the Republican Party. He was told that there were many, I think maybe as many as 15 or 20 Republicans who would never vote for him. So he dropped out. That left only Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. Let me say this. Jim Jordan cannot be permitted to be Speaker of the House for a variety of reasons. He was the congressional leader of the coup. He met with Donald Trump in the White House in December, the week after Christmas of 2000, plotting what they would do, plotting the fake elector scheme based on the Eastman memo, coordinating so that these fake electors would be shown to Pence. Pence would be go on the to the podium and he'd go, well, you know, there's doubt in my mind, so I'm going to give it back to the legislatures. If it came back to Wisconsin, we're gerrymandered. It's a crooked gerrymander. And they would say, okay, if it's with us, we are going to go with Donald Trump. And that would have also happened in a couple of other states, and then Donald Trump would be president. Jim Jordan did that. Jim Jordan should be a criminal defendant in Jack Smith's case in Washington, D.C. He could have been a criminal defendant in Fannie Willis's in Atlanta, because when you charge a conspiracy like that, you can involve people who committed their dastardly acts in other jurisdictions other than your state. If Josh Call prosecutes the fake electors in Wisconsin, all 10 of them, and Johnson, Ron Johnson, and Voss, and Fitzgerald, he could put in Jim Jordan. That's not happening in this state. Jack Smith decided to limit his prosecution to the one defendant, Donald Trump, the big kahuna. But the reason that Jim Jordan can't be speaker isn't just sort of cosmetic. He would be second in line to the presidency of the United States. If, God forbid, something happened medically or otherwise to Joe Biden, it would be Kamala Harris. But if, God forbid, anything happened to her, it would be Jim Jordan. I do not want a Trump cult fascist as president of the United States. A number of congressmen, I think, understand that, believe it. They also are not stupid. They only care about their own reelections. But if they put him in as speaker, they're going to lose their seats, some of them. The problem is there are 10 Republicans out of town right now. 10 Republicans out of town, and their number of Democrats out of town. So it won't take 217 votes to vote from on the floor if they go to it today. A guy named Austin Scott stuck his nostrils up out of the mire, and he is also saying he's from South Georgia. He's saying he's running for speaker, and he's running against Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan in their caucus. Now, I Google Austin Scott because, quite frankly, I've never heard of him. He hasn't done anything. He is right wing, as you can imagine, except he is strongly favors Ukraine aid. I believe he would strongly favor aid to Israel. And he may be savvy enough to put on the floor for a vote a clean budget until the new president's elected. Now, why do I say that? And one of the things we're not concentrating on enough is this. All it has to do is be put on the floor, but the speaker alone has the authority to put it on the floor. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan will not put Ukraine aid on the floor. He may not put Israel aid on the floor. And he certainly won't put anything else on the floor that Donald Trump doesn't want. Donald Trump has endorsed him. Donald Trump has threatened anybody who votes against him with a primary. The reason it's important just to put it on the floor, let's say a guy like Austin Scott is a speaker. If he puts Ukraine aid on the floor and he would vote for it, but he wouldn't, or Israel aid or a clean budget, he'd get up there and give a speech. He could say, well, I'm against this. As long as he puts it on the floor for a vote, it will get 212 Democratic votes, and it'll get 120 or 30 Republican votes. And the crazies can vote against it all they want, but it'll pass with 356 votes, just like it did, minus the Ukraine aid, unfortunately, under Kevin McCarthy. So what's going to happen? Right now, the speculation is, when I went on the air, they were still voting in the caucus. When that's released, it'll probably won't be released, the results, until after this show is over, but Diamond Crew can handle it. If a guy like Austin Scott can come out of nowhere and get a bunch of votes, Jim Jordan's in trouble. On the other hand, if Jim Jordan gets a lot of votes, not going to get 217 in the caucus, they may put him out on the floor. They may do a vote today, a surprise vote, a Pearl Harbor vote, a sneak attack vote. So it won't take 217 votes. And they'll do a count on how many Democrats and Republicans are out of town. It might only take 208 votes. And they might try to slip this dirty dog through. The good thing is Hakeem Jeffries has already said, if they do that, we're going to take advantage of the House rule that one member can call the chair vacant, and I'll call the chair vacant. We'll vote again when we're all back in town. So this is a mess. This is an absolute mess, only because of the Republican Party, only because of about eight Republicans who are part of the fascist cult of Trump. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
CBS News special report. It's dawn now in the Middle East. There is an exodus of Palestinians from the northern part of Gaza, including crowded Gaza City. That after the Israeli warning to get out and the implication of an Israeli ground offensive to come. And to Israel's north, the Iran-backed Hezbollah movement in Lebanon says it would be fully prepared to join Hamas in the war against Israel when the time is right. Against that background and warnings of a human catastrophe, President Biden.
At my direction, our teams are working in the region, including communicating directly with the governments of Israel, Egypt, Jordan, and other Arab nations, and the United Nations to surge support and humanitarian consequences for Hamas attack to help Israel.
While at the UN, Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Even wars have rules. International humanitarian law and human rights law must be respected and upheld. Civilians must be protected and also never use the shields.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Tom Foti.
Hey everyone, gather around. It's time for corny jokes about passing the torch.
The team at Kyrian's Welding was fused together solid.
Thanks for all the late nights and early shifts.
But double retirements mean the crew must bond with some certified new hires.
You've both gone the extra millimeter.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5, The Tap.
Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Match the Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a disinformation campaign underway that you should be aware of. Twitter, now it's X, I guess, formerly known as Twitter. They've, outside journalists, not Elon Musk, have located 67 accounts that are essentially a coordinated campaign to spread disinformation about the Middle East. Let me explain. Prior to the invasion by Hamas of Israel, all of these postings, all of these accounts were innocuous. Some would talk about basketball. Some would talk about like a state like Connecticut, you know, what it's like, its geography, very innocuous. But, you know, in terms of security under Elon Musk, there's no longer any verification. To be a verified user, there's no longer some verification that you exist, that you are who you say you are, and so forth. All you have to do is pay. So they all paid. right after the invasion by Hamas of Israel, and the sadistic genocidal attack on civilians, all of these accounts in coordination started to post disinformation, and it's really quite sly, quite clever. For instance, they will post a picture of somebody, a video, speaking a foreign language, typically Russia, typically Putin or Sergei Lavrov as foreign minister, and very few people in this country speak Russian or understand it. So you'll have this very, very menacing looking figure spitting out things in Russian, and then they will put, and I see right now, just skimming across the lines, it says Jim Jordan wins House Speaker nomination after earlier defeat. That means he beat Austin Scott. It doesn't mean he got 217 votes. We'll ask Calvin to look at that and get us the exact vote. But I want to get back to what I'm saying. When they have Sergei Lavrov or Putin speaking Russian, they'll put a false chyron, we call it, C-H-Y-R-O-N, the words underneath, translating it. And they're totally different from what's really being said. So, for instance, one time, Sergei Lavrov was on there giving an impassioned speech, angered at the fact that Tucker Carlson had been thrown off of Fox. And they translated it as something like, we will use nuclear weapons if the United States does X. Okay, so I'm looking at the thing. It was a vote of 124 to 81. He defeated Austin Scott. If they go to a vote on that, they're out of their minds. He's not going to get 217 out of 124. A lot of those others, when 83 people, let's see, when 81 people, don't, you know, Austin Scott's never done anything. He's a non-entity. And he gets what? He gets this? He gets this? This is very bad news for Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan. It's very good news for the United States. I'm going to go back to my comments. I see the line lighting up. I'm going to go to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Joe?
Hi, Matt. I can you hear me?
I sure can, Joe.
Okay, sorry. Matt, I was calling. I'm not sure if we touched on this or not, but I do think the issue of Jim Jordan is a fascinating one when you consider that Trump is gave him a Medal of Honor, which I believe that you had mentioned before. Excuse me, Medal of Freedom. And right. I just think, why? What's going on there that was so important to do? Another, it was also gave it to Devin Nunes. As, what was going on there? And I think there is something about, and tell me that I'm not getting too conspiracy-minded here, but Trump is out of the line of getting information, as most past presidents do, on intel and security matters related to the United States. Most ex-presidents are get those briefings because the thoughts are that those ex-presidents can provide some insight or thoughts or to the current president that may be helpful. When Biden came in, he said, no way is this guy getting, an access line to intel about the United States. However, right. As I understand it, tell me if I'm wrong here, but a speaker, if Jim Jordan were to become speaker, he would automatically become part of the Gang of Eight, which is the group of people within the Senate and House who do get information, intel about the most important and secure matters related to U.S. intelligence. So would this be, the guy was blabbermouthing to Trump on the, about the plans for January 6th, certainly. So would this suggest to you that this is a way that Trump has his support of Jordan and that this has come around again after he already lost previously? Do you feel that there is some, that Trump is pushing him in part because this would be his conduit to information about the U.S. intelligence? I'd be curious your reactions to that.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I'm going to answer it right now, and your other callers stay on the line. I'll get to you right away. But, Joe, that's an excellent question, and the answer is yes, I agree with you. It's not a conspiracy theory. Remember, Donald Trump gave medals to Devin Nunes, to Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, and to Rush Limbaugh, remember? And so Rush Limbaugh, he was just repaying him for all the dirty work Limbaugh had done for him and the Republicans. And Devin Nunes was going to be leaving, and he was going to be working for one of Donald Trump's entities. But Jim Jordan, you're absolutely right. There's a thing called the Gang of Eight. Why eight? Because the two Republican leaders in the House, the two Democratic leaders in the House, two Republican leaders in the Senate, and two Democratic leaders. So, for instance, when Kevin McCarthy was in, he and Stephen Scalise, who is the number two, were part of the Gang of Eight. Somebody like Mitch McConnell and then John Thune, the senator from South Dakota, Gang of Eight, and Chuck Schumer and his number two, and Hakeem Jeffries now, and it would be Catherine Clark of Massachusetts. They're supposed to be at least adults. The bar is low. They should be loyal to the United States. They're told things. They're given briefings that are much more involved than the rest of the Congress. They can't tell anybody. They can't tell their staffs. They can't tell anybody. They're supposed to advise the president, advise the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and then work in their respective caucuses for the interests of the United States. If Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan is in there, he is a traitor to the United States. When you launch a coup, there's a great comment by Professor Snyder of Yale about that. I've used it before when he said, Donald Trump is mistaken. And in this case, you could say that Jim Jordan is mistaken. If he thinks that his constitutional rights are being violated by these investigations, his constitutional rights are being ratified, affirmed by this, because in any other country, a violent coup does not end up with a trial. It's a very profound statement. It would be a disaster if this guy got in. He's a traitor to the United States. He should be a criminal defendant. And you're absolutely right. This way, if Trump wins the presidency, God forbid, he'd have his lackey. If he loses the presidency, he is a conduit to sensitive information, which he will then pass on to Putin or Saudi Arabia or anybody who pays him. Thanks an awful lot, Joe. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. You're next. What's your mind today, Bill?
A couple of things. I can't help but talk about Jim Jordan, the leader of the clown show. You know, when you add all those guys up and all the charges they are responsible for, from insurrection to breaking their oath of office, it adds up. It's quite an impressive list with the charges they face or the charges that apply to them. But because of our lack of backbone in Democrats, those guys should have been out the door years ago, but unfortunately we got to put up with it. But I want to switch gears. Donald Trump has now said, BB, and he calls him BB. I love that. I'm sure that BB calls him Donald, but that's another story. But anyway, he calls him BB, and he said he made a lot of mistakes. He did some bad things. But who does he promote? Hamas. He said, now, Hamas is intelligent. I wish the press would pick up on that. He's basically saying, I support Hamas. I don't support his buddy, as he calls him, BB. That's going to be out on the media daily to play those clips. They're available to anybody. You can YouTube them, access them. He's proven what we already know. He threw his allegiance to Putin. Now he's throwing his allegiance to Hamas. Where is Fox News covering that? Well, of course they wouldn't touch that. That's like a silver bullet at a vampire. You know, they won't. They'd never fire that bullet towards him, because that's the end of it. My motto is this weekend: wake up, America. We got to stand united against Hamas. If we don't, Hamas will relish if Fox News or Trump has already creates a big divide in the country. Have a great weekend. Let's all pray for Israel, and we'll get through this. Trust me, we've been through it before in 1967. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was 18 years old at the time. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thanks for the great call. As always, Bill, you have a great weekend, too. I'm going to respond to it briefly, and then next go to the next caller. The thing about Donald Trump, he cannot be permitted to be back in the White House. He is a traitor to the United States. He provided information to Putin. He praises Putin. He did what Bill just said. He's the guy that got Saudi Arabia. He made it easy for them to take over professional golf in this country. He's defended them. His son-in-law got $2 billion. The guy is on the take. He has shared confidential information. He's told an Australian billionaire about our nuclear sub capabilities. you know, we used to say in the Navy, loose lips sink ships. This guy's lips, his lips like an elephant. I don't know if an elephant has lips. I suppose they do. But the point is not big, but pick something with a lot of them. This guy is a traitor and he is a danger to the United States. And Jim Jordan, the one good thing, and I'll go to the next caller, 124 to 81. That means 60-40. That means a total nonentity who nobody ever heard of gets 40% of the caucus because they can't stand Gymnasium Jim G.O.M. Jordan. It's time to go to someone else. I have mentioned Tom Cole of Oklahoma. Look him up. He's a moderate. He's a member of the Choctaw Nation, B.A. from Grinnell, M.A. from Yale, doctorate in history. He's a very kind of unassuming and kind of, likable guy. Yeah, he's a conservative. I get it. But he'll vote for aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, and put in a clean budget. What can you expect? Let's take the House back next year. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. Thanks, Joe and Bill. You guys have all covered it all there. I'm just saying that somehow or other, this government's got to function. It can't function with guys like Jim Jordan. I'm glad that's done because that's really spooky, especially what Joe said. So on the whole situation there. So anyway, we need to function in government. I don't know how this is going to work out. You have two wars going on. Very serious stuff. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for your show, Matt. Have a great weekend. By the way, go Badgers.
You got it. Thank you, Paul. Good weekend to you. Think about it. This, right after Pearl Harbor, if we had a Congress that couldn't elect the speaker, are you kidding me? We had, back then we were all rallied together against the Nazis and against Imperial Japan. Doesn't mean we dislike German people. Germany is one of, I think, the largest ethnic group in this country. It was until recently. No. And we didn't dislike Japanese people. But when you have Adolf Hitler and when you have Tojo and the emperor over there deciding to make the world, they're going to divide the world, Nazis and Imperial Japan. We couldn't put up with that. Now, you say there are two wars anyway. I mean, you have Ukraine. And you have Israel, and then what? You have a Congress that can't even put a vote on the floor? All the guy has to do, or the woman, put it on the floor. It'll get 212 Democratic votes, and it'll get 150 Republicans, and it's done. It's done. The whole idea is by these rules, crazy rules, elitist rules, unconstitutional rules, we have not permitted the Senate or the House to vote on something that most of them want, and I want, and you want, which is our government to function. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain continues tonight, low mid-40s and breezy, gusts as high as 30 miles an hour, might even hear a rumble of thunder. Maybe an early shower to start Saturday, then mostly cloudy and a high in the low 50s. Sun's back in mid-50s for Sunday. It's 46 right now.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines again. David and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, David?
Yeah, hi. You know, we really ought to ask ourselves, why are these so-called left-wing organizations supporting Hamas and these killers? Hamas is a right-wing, theocratic, fundamentalist, radical conservative organization, and their objective is to impose Sharia law all over, well, in not only Israel proper, but also the West Bank and Gaza. And let's look at who they attacked, who this right-wing group that's supported by these so-called socialists, so-called leftists attacked. They attacked the kibbutzim, the kibbutzes, along the Gaza-Israel demarcation line. There was like four or five of them they attacked. The kibbutzim there are filled with the most left people you can find in Israel or really anywhere. They live on literally voluntary communal farms based on the Marxist-Leninist, the Marxist model. And that's extremely unfair. You know, in fact, I'm just going to say it. That's anti-Semitism, and I'm not afraid to say it's anti-Semitism. That's what it is.
Right. No, I'll back you up. In fact, I'll say it. It is anti-Semitism. This attack, the people in Hamas, some of the Hamas people, you know, they were dressed in Israeli police officer and IDF soldier uniforms to trick people, and then they kill them. But some of them got killed, and they found ISIS flags on some of them. Remember, ISIS was in Iraq, and they pillaged through Iraq murdering Christians. They murdered hundreds of thousands of them and drove them out of the country. They are the scourge of the Middle East in Muslim countries as well. ISIS is hunted down by Egypt, it's hunted down by Saudi Arabia. They are simply a terror network who torture people, and they don't much care who it is. Now, people on the left, and when I want to be careful about this, because in fairness, there are a lot of people who are socialists or democratic socialists who absolutely are top-notch people. I don't agree with them on economic policy, but so what? But they're gentle people, they're not bad people. But there is a strain in the leadership of the Democratic Socialists of America, and I've called out several over here in Milwaukee, Ryan Clancy and Darren Madison, in the legislature, who voted either present or voted against a resolution just condemning the barbarity and evil of Hamas. That's all. And it's not just them. You know, some of the marchers who march, who marched in New York City, who marched in Europe, they all claim to be leftists. They're really not. They're not classic leftists at all. And they're not Democrats at all, or the comparable ideology over there. What they are is anti-Semitic, period, end of story. That is what it is, and whether they admit it or not, their actions are anti-Semitic. It's a false equivalence to say that what Hamas does and what Israel does is sort of equivalent. That's a false equivalence. It's a false equivalence because Israel does not go into Gaza, kidnap babies, murder them, slit their throats, behead them in front of their mothers, rape their mothers, carry the dead bodies of a young girl and spit on it. That's sadism. What Hamas does is sadism. And people who side with Hamas, I think the overall, I mean, certainly in their institutional leadership, the overall impetus is anti-Semitism. It may be that there are individuals who are just dumb as a bag of rocks and say, oh, it's not evil, it's not barbaric, and, you know, and it's equivalent and all that, who aren't in their own minds anti-Semitic. Maybe they think that. But right now, throughout our country right now, a lot of synagogues and Jewish schools are under alert because people who have jihadist instincts that came to this country, and in my view, never should have been admitted to the country, threaten them. They go into restaurants to beat up Jewish patrons. That happened in L.A. and that happened in New York. Just the other day, a student in Columbia University was attacked, a Jewish guy just walking in through the campus. You cannot open our hospitality to people who are filled with hate and violence, and that is the essence of jihad. David, my view of some people who get hoodwinked into supporting it as some sort of a cause, are basically naive. They've been pickled in this kind of, there are two cults in this country right now. The most dangerous is the cult of Trump, the fascist cult of Trump that destroys democracy and hates democracy. Those people are right out of the Village of the Damned. And I didn't see the most recent one, but I saw it, the original, back in the 1960s, the early 1960s. And that was when all these people look normal. They walk around town. Suddenly they stand still. Their eyes start to flash like diamonds. And, you know, these people, it's the Village of the Damned. That is what the Trump fascist cult to destroy democracy is. But there is another cult. And that's, frankly, the identity politics cult of the Islamo left. And I don't know what their motivations are. But what they do is they just sort of in lockstep. And they are not willing to condemn what the Hamas did to Israel. And I think that's wrong. That's very, very wrong. And the final thing I'll say is this. It really goes back to it's really a cultural imperative of jihad that goes back to the 7th century, goes back to the 600s. And throughout history, you're not woke if you don't know history. For 1,400 years, this doctrine has swept through Europe. It swept through the Far East. It took over the Balkans, Greece, Spain, Portugal. It almost got into France, attacked Vienna as late as 1684. And it was finally suppressed. And after the First World War, it was divided up. And then Germany decided to invite a million refugees in who spread it again throughout Europe. That's what's happened. We're coming to the end of the show. There's a lot of other topics I wanted to get to, but this is so important. I'm glad we aired this. Stand by for Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, a great show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place Monday. And I'm signing off for today.
Noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values.
So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.